Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's a shout out that will never be responded to. This is Wretched Radio. We're having a mailbag week. Send whatever you think is wretched. I mean anything, as long as it's not, you know, disgusting. Idea at wretched.org, or you can text whatever you want to 877-282-2337. And maybe in that email or text, you can tell us if you're willing to help us. I'm looking for a volunteer, and I just haven't found the courage to ask anybody that I know to do this because it could be potentially offensive. But if you're not offended by this request and you'd like to help us, send a text, send an email to Jimmy. Here's who we're looking for. You are an elderly Christian woman. What is elderly? I'm thinking 70s. Maybe 80s? I know you're out there. Would you be willing to record yourself? You can use your phone and send your reading of contemporary worship songs. You say, why would you want anybody to do that? Here's what I discovered a long time ago. When we read lyrics from contemporary worship, we're so used to them being so dreckish. We kind of just... yeah, we know they're not very good. We know that they're repetitious. We know that they're not theologically robust, but we kind of overlook it. But when an elderly woman reads those same lyrics, I mean, just reads them, doesn't sing them, reads them, they sound utterly preposterous. Would you be willing to help us do that? Now, if you would like to know what sort of songs you're singing, now that... this is what we'll do. Someday, if anybody volunteers for this and is willing to do this, we'll send you the songs, their actual worship songs that we'd like you to record. I'll read it, or Jimmy will read it, and then we'll play you. And I'm telling you, we're all going to go, cringe. This is by no means not to make fun of your age. That isn't the emphasis of this. Your age and your maturity reveals how ridiculous and immature these songs are. For instance, ready for this one, Jimmy? You tried to make the AI machine do it.
Oh, it
was a total fail.
Oh, it was.
Here we go. wake up, the time has come. Don't rest, don't wait. It has begun. Ready the weapon of praise. Blood moon, blood red. Blood down his robe. Blood of the Lamb is overcome. Ready the weapon of praise. Because I see the heavens. I'm seeing the sevens in the sky. Time of the beast is growing nigh. We're going to make it out alive. I see the heavens, legions of angels in the night. Wipe off the slumber from your eyes. We're going to make it out alive. Ready the weapon of praise. Ready the weapon of praise. Ready the weapon of praise. The serpent's scared. He's seen the grave. No rest in peace, just fire and flames. Yeah. Who rolled the stone? Who holds the throne? Trumpets will sound. The world will know. Ready the weapon of praise. Seven stars. 70 times 70. I'm seeing seven heads, seven scrolls, seven seals, seven bowls, seven stars, 7 times 70. I'm seeing sevens in the sky. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 signs. Heaven rule, heaven reign, heaven soon, heaven stay, heaven fall, heaven come. Heal it all. I'm seeing heaven in the sky. We're going to make it out alive. So rally the angels, ready for war. He's riding a stallion, make way for the Lord. His word is a weapon. His tongue is a sword. The God of the whisper is the God of the roar. Let me try that again. I wasn't sure which way to go with that. Is the God of the roar.
That's it.
There we go. Got it. Now, That was pretty awful to listen to. 75-year-old woman, you're going to go, what in the world are we producing out of Nashville? This is being sung on radio stations? This is being sung in church? I get it. It's kind of about revelation. But how does this exalt Jesus? And what does this even mean? Would you like to volunteer? Oh, Jimmy, get ready for the text to pour in. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is an interesting question. So I'm going to, let me
you just. You okay?
No, I've got
you want me to do the song again? I can buy you some time to recover.
No, I have a lot of opinions. So, Jim has texted in, can a pastor or elder share with their wives things that are discussed among them? Specifically, an egregious sin of a member that has not yet been revealed to the congregation. I was told a pastor or elder can share because he and his wife are one flesh.
Oh, that's the end?
Yeah, that's the end.
Well, the intonation kind of indicated there was maybe more coming.
Oh, I'm
there.
Sorry.
That's
sorry.
That's okay. We still believe you're a radio professional. You do the roar thing. See, how would you do the roar?
No.
No. Not good. In fact, any elderly woman who heard that call out is like, are you kidding me? Please. I feel undignified just listening to that. Does the pastor get to tell the wife church business? There are different pastors with different rules on this. I know how we do it. It's not always perfect, but basically, if it's sin stuff, if it's counseling stuff, if it's elder business, well, then that is elder business, and I'm going to keep a confidence. And if she understands that. Furthermore, if the pastor dumps everything on the wife, oh, she's going to be hating church so fast. Oh, she's going to be inclined to give the skank eye to that guy. He did what? Because she's in the know. So I believe that a pastor has to hold a lot of these things. Now, it is good if you get together with another brother outside of your church and you can talk about these things. I'll do that with other pastors, with brothers who don't know the person in question. I don't even use their name. Hey, I've got this situation. Bill, unless the guy's name actually is Bill. Bill is this and Sarah said that. So what do you think would be the counsel? That's I think, the place you need to go. Protect your wife from all of the bad news. Protect her from the harsh stuff. Because she's a member. She's not called in ministry. She's your wife. She's a member. She's one of your sheep. So protect her from that stuff. Now, does that mean that there's nothing you can ever discuss? No, there's stuff. Where's the line? Okay, well, here's at least a part of the line. Sin stuff? Got to keep that to yourself, Pastor. Elder decisions, stuff that's coming up that the congregation should be hearing together, should she get a preview? Well, probably not. And so I think staying on the line of safe after a conversation with her, because here's what can happen. The pastor knows something, doesn't share it with the wife. She finds out and says, did you know that? Yeah, I knew that. Well, why didn't you tell? So discuss it in advance. Honey, I'm not going to tell you a bunch of stuff because of the aforementioned explanation. And create your own rules. But I think that you should fall on the side of safety and protecting your wife. Not to mention protecting the confidence of the congregation. I got to tell you, that's very often lacking in the church. And it does so much damage where even the pastor is willing to talk about other people and what the gang, gang, First of all, I don't think that it's wise. I don't think it's helpful. It could even border on sinful gossip. Furthermore, it undermines your credibility, Pastor, because if somebody's listening to you trash talk somebody, they're going to go, wonder how he talks about me. And you're going to lose confidence. Jimmy, you said you got lots of opinions.
Well, I've been there. So to answer the question, can a pastor share with their wives confidential things? No, I just, right. I, absolutely not. That one flesh union that he mentioned, That's the covenantal union between a man and a wife. It has nothing to do with the pastoral office.
Well, and we're still two individuals.
Right.
Right. So I agree with you. So anything that's a sin issue, confidence issue, discipline issue.
Right.
And I think some elder discussions that involve the church, I think the man just needs to keep that to himself.
Yeah, I think what he would share with his wife would be anything that he would share with any member of the congregation, just general prayer concerns, general struggles, just mutual burden bearing that any member would, that you would share with any member of the congregation.
Yeah, I think that's good too.
Yeah.
I think, did you get that on AI?
No.
Oh, all by yourself.
I've been there, man. I know what it's like.
And here's the key to it. I think you would affirm this, that the man has had that conversation with his wife. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do that, dude, you're gonna hit some choppy waters. She should understand that. And if it's presented to her as for your own good, it's not like I'm trying to keep secrets on you, darling. It's that I'm called to be, I'm the confidence man. People expect confidence. Now, if you ask somebody, can I share this with my wife? And they give permission. Should you share it with your wife? I think the rule that I would use to guide my decision would be, will it benefit and grow my wife or will it potentially harm her? This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible.
The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ooh, harsh. I'm sorry, are we on? This is Wretched Radio. What were you saying during the break?
Yeah.
This is about pastoral confidence. Does he share with the wife? Did I just say the wife? Ugh. His wife. Shares with the woman, folk. Does he share what with he knows lady. About some church business with his wife? And your claim during the break was?
I said that I didn't go as far as... initially, as far as what I really believe, and I do believe it disqualifies a man that does that. It is. And I could be wrong. That's my personal conviction. Mm-hmm. I could be totally biblically wrong on it, but I just think a pastor is called to be above reproach. Titus says that he's to be a trustworthy steward.
But don't you think that his attitude about it matters?
That's why I said I could be wrong.
Well, because, you know, she is a confidant. She is a helper.
Yep.
And hey, sweetheart, I'm working on this issue. But again, I go back to the aforementioned rules. Was it told to you in confidence? You have to keep it in confidence. Yeah,
that's right.
Wife is not the exception. Even if you're one flesh, that it just doesn't allow you to share what somebody said. I expect you to not share this with anybody. And even if you ask for their permission, again, will it be good for her? She's not called to carry those burdens. The pastor is. And if he's dumping a lot of stuff on her, I'll tell you, pastor, it's going to hurt your wife and it's going to hurt your family. It will. Because it's just going to be harder and harder for her to serve joyfully. That's yours to carry.
I guess the way I look at it, like we talked about, the one flesh union, she's the helper, she's the helpmate, but she's not a part of the body of elders.
Right.
And so she's not been trusted with that information. And so I just would find it hard to feel like you.
I'm not sure that would be my first response.
That's just
to the pastor who's doing that. I think talking to the pastor about it, to say, hey, pastor, what are your rules regarding confidences and sharing with your wife? Can we talk about those things? I would be there way before disqualification. And wouldn't it have to be something that is like we can definitively say that's a sin and he's persisting in unrepentant sin, therefore church discipline and disqualification from eldership.
Yeah.
Jimmy, can I just thank you right now?
For what?
Making me look so nice. 877-282-2337.
I said I could be wrong. It's a personal conviction. I'm not going to holler at another man.
I think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I really do.
I wouldn't go.
Not that big of a deal.
I wouldn't go to another pastor that has done it or is doing it consistently and tell him, hey, you're disqualified from ministry. When I say it's a personal conviction, I feel like it would disqualify me from ministry. That's the way I feel. So I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want you to violate your conscience.
Right.
But
right.
Simultaneously, I might spend some time with you going, well, then I'll tell you what, why don't we just work on what this should look like? Let's try to figure. Because we don't have specific detailed rules about this in the Bible.
True.
So we need to use the totality of Scripture, come up with some principles and apply them. And some of them that I think we've already discussed are biblical. They are helpful. And honestly, it'll take care of over, I'm just guessing, 90% of the stuff where you just don't have to debate it. Could there ever be a time when the pastor, okay, all right, how's about this one, Jimmy? There's not as much money in the bank account as there should be to make things smooth at the church. Mm-hmm. All right, now that's kind of elder stuff, but ultimately the congregation can and should know that stuff. Can the pastor ever say to the wife, honey, I'm feeling the pressure of the finances at the church. Can I just share something, talk some things through with you? You okay with that?
Yeah, I am. Like I said before, I think anything that he would say to any other member of the congregation is fine.
Okay.
But it's the confidential stuff that he's told in confidence that I just don't think he should share.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just don't think I'd fire the guy over it.
I didn't say I'd fire him.
Yes, you did.
I said
yes, you did.
It's my conviction.
Do you have an opinion? We'd love to hear it. Seriously, we'd love to hear it. Send it to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
And be as mean as you want in the text because I can't text back.
That's true.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, what are your thoughts on those who pray and use the words claim and declare in Jesus' name? I don't like it. It scares me, but I want to know if there's any scripture that backs it up.
This is another one of those instances where it's like, okay, that isn't like entirely wrong. Those words, though, have contemporary baggage connected to them. And those terms come from the name it and claim it, the prosperity folks, that you declare it, you say it. It's word faith business. You say it, God's going to do it. You declare it, it's going to happen. That's just so unbiblical. Now, having said that, can we pray the promises of God? And I think the answer is respectfully, yeah. Yeah, you can. Lord, your word says this. I'm in this situation. Would you please deliver on that promise to me? Okay, that's claiming a promise, if you will, without using the word claim, because it's just too packed with prosperity problems. But I do believe that we can use God's promises to remind him of his promises, not that he's forgotten, but to say, Lord, I sure would love it. Your word says this about my subject. Would you please do that? Would you do that now? Would you please heal this person? Whatever your request is, because of your character, because of your nature. And so I bring this to you confidently, trusting you to do what is best. I'll submit to whatever your sovereign will determines, but I sure would like it if you would do that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The name it, what was the other one? The claim it and
declare.
Declare it. Declare. Yeah, that's all word faith business.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use those words.
It kind of gives the implication. I've always thought that our words have authority. Like,
oh, it certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if somehow we stating or claiming it. Ooh. Imagine one of your children. Hey, Dad. I'm claiming my inheritance. Pony it up. Be like, whoa, boy. Hold on, son. 877-282-2337.
Taking extra vacations this year. This is from Mary.
What?
If my kid said I'm claiming my inheritance, I'm going to start taking some extra vacations.
Well, I do not get the connection.
So they wouldn't have the money for the inheritance. I'm going to start spending
you
it.
You love your children.
That's right, I do.
I got it.
This is from Mary. Todd, what current Bible translations would you recommend staying away from?
Let me send the message that your passion for the Bible is a good one. That you should want it to be an accurate one. There is a wide scope, wide range of Bibles. On the one side, you've got literal. It's what you would call a formal equivalent. It's trying to be as literally wood for wood, which is, right, it can be a little wooden, word for word as you want. Those are the ones that we should be really digging into when we want to be accurate and understand what the original author intended. Now, anytime you move from that, now over on that side, by the way, I would put NASB, I would put ESV, I would put, I think even close to that, the Revised Standard Version. Did I mention NKJV? I would put those. They're striving to make sure that they don't add anything or interpret anything.
The LSB?
Oh, sure. The LSB would also be one.
Yeah.
Now, you move from there. And you start on the other side, you're going to get functional equivalents. In other words, they're written in such a way for you to understand them. I am not opposed to them. I think that they can be helpful. I don't think they should be exclusively relied on because the interpreters, they take some liberties sometime. So you need to be aware of that. But I do believe that they can be beneficial. Just I think you should, if you're in that land of NLT or NIV, they're not horrible. but try to be moving more to the right side with more of a formal equivalent. Now, even to the left of what we would consider to be a functional equivalent, well, then you get all kinds of wacky stuff out there. Then you got yourself the Message Bible. It is not even close. It's not even functional. It's like the thoughts of the guy who did the interpretation. It's just loaded with all kinds of suppositions and teachings. We've read some of the verses before. You wouldn't even recognize the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And seriously, the message is like, have you ever been on a drive and you've seen a farm where the animals, and it's like, what is that? Those are the types of things, yeah. I don't even think they qualify, frankly, as deserving of the word Bible. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.